You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We're at season 13, episode 26. And tonight we are recording a reaction to the draw from Saturday for Euro 2024. I am joined by John, first of all. How are you doing?
Hi, John. Yeah, good to be on. It's just been a mental few days, and I think the reaction's still pretty much high after the draw on Saturday. And it was the first draw since France 98 that Scotland had been in a tournament on their own, not as like playoff winner C or Scotland or Ukraine or Wales. We were actually on our own, and lo and behold, got the opening game again.
Hi. I mean, it's surprising you can fit us in with your media appearances these days. I mean,
you got an agent. SFF always come first.
So we have Scott. How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, good. Happy to be talking about Scotland in a major competition again. It's always fun.
Oh, it's becoming a regular occurrence almost. So nice to see. I mean, I don't know how we get this one back on the show after what happened recently. But Russell, how you doing? You good?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, I'm surprised you've invited me back after September.
Well, we figure the situation is, Russell, it was a friendly, right? So we're quite happy to lose that. We're waiting for the knockout stages of Euro 2024 and we're going to scalp you.
Do you know, is there a way that we can meet in the final?
Well, I'm pretty sure there is. I was trying to do some permutations earlier. I've got as far as the last 16 and then it gets a wee bit tricky in terms of that. So maybe save that for next year and kind of making a time, we'll get that sorted. So we'll figure that one out.
Yeah, no, good to be back. Thank you.
No worries. And we searched the internet for an expert from some of the groups. We'll get some Germans and Hungarians on closer to the time. In Switzerland, we have someone. We searched for Zurich, we searched Geneva, we searched Val, and we got a ginger from Scotland instead. Craig, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
That's good. No, good to have you on. Big plus. Aye. There we go. Early on. We get that one in. Erin would be disappointed if we never did
it. A tick from Erin for that one.
Aye. So, yes. We'll kick off with the reaction to the draw from Saturday. John, you were at Hampden. Give us a wee insight into what that was like.
Yeah, so the SFA, through the company Gordon Shiak works for. Gordon was one of the main ones that put it together. They did a reaction show after, so like, we were in the Hampden Museum watching the draw come in, as it happened, and everyone was just cheering when Scotland came out. And then I don't know if you what videos etc. you saw, but I am actually on camera saying, we're going to come as A2 here for the opening game. And lo and behold, that's what happened. See, when that came out, it was just like everyone was just buzzing after that. And then the show itself, I mean, you guys have always hopefully seen it, the link that I put in through the group chat. It was a really good show. Gordon Smart and Amy Cannon did a fantastic job with presenting. Mark Jennings and Craig Gordon were the guests, obviously, and then it ended with Super Scott McGill playing out and doing these things. So it was a really good day, but yeah, it was just a tremendous occasion. I think not many people had T-shirts on because it was absolutely freezing. I think the heating had failed at Hampden, unfortunately.
And I see a part of McGill's backing band, you and Stephen Rayside doing the clapping. Well, like front and centre camera.
Yeah, if they told me I'd taken the kids' tambourine or something like that.
auditioning for the music video.
Good day.
Scott, yourself, in terms of the draw, did you get a chance to see it or not?
No, I was working, so I kind of got to a wee bit late. I'm fairly happy with it. As happy as you can be with these things, obviously. It's beat Scotland, you can't be totally optimistic just because of what's happened in the past. But, you know, I really don't fear anybody in the group. Not to say that we couldn't lose to everybody in the group, we can. But, you know, I just don't fear anybody either at this moment in time.
Yeah. I mean, Russell, I don't know how England manage it every time, but how did you manage to get the easiest group? What's happening here? Who's paying the money to UEFA to get these good groups?
It's certainly come out like that, hasn't it? John, just listening to John there, like going up to Hampden there. This year appears to be the first year in, I don't know, maybe since 2018 tournament. There may have been one for 2016, I can't remember. But our own FA have done a draw party where we've gone up to Wembley. I've been fortunate enough to go for the past, I think it's past three parties, so past three draws. But this year they decided not to have one. Yeah, perhaps that might have been a reason. They thought that we'd get a harder draw, so they wouldn't let us come up there.
Maybe you're trying to change things up so you maybe win it. It's like, take the party away and have the party later.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know why they get good draws, John.
What's that?
John, I don't know why they get good draws. They get hot balls. That was all that noise you heard during the draw. That was the hot balls.
I never heard any noise. I was in a pub in Dundee and I was hoping they would put it on the screens, but they never. So I was round the phone kind of trying to watch it with no sound. It's not as good when you've not got a thing. Though maybe it was because it lasts for that long that I'd probably kind of just heard a lot of nonsense.
I thought this draw went relatively quickly in the grand scheme of things.
Nice venue for the draw. I was at that place in October. Very nice venue, the Elf Farm. Get a chance to go, it's very nice. But yeah, I mean, England's draw, we're going to talk a wee bit about that just now. So England ranked third. They've got Denmark ranked number 19, Serbia 34, Slovenia 54. See, before the draw was made, were you worried about any teams drawing any teams or not? Like,
I mean, obviously you look at it and you think, who would we like to get? Who don't we fancy? Or from a personal point of view. And I can't be honest, I didn't want Scotland for a couple of reasons. Mainly that we played you in the previous Euros. We played you fairly recently. And also, we draw you again in the Euros. There's a chance that we could lose to you. But there's a few other teams like that as well. Italy, I didn't want to get, but as well, there was the possibility that they could have been drawn. Yeah, we could have got the Netherlands. Who else was in there? Netherlands, Italy. I'm trying to remember who else was in the other pot, but it could have been Croatia. Yeah, it could have been a real tough draw for us. And as you say, in the end, if you do look at the rankings, and you don't take them with a pinch of salt, then yes, it does come across on paper as fairly easy. But there are a couple of banana skins there, I do think.
Yeah, we didn't really want you guys. I think most of them Scotland fans I spoke to didn't want England either, simply because of the recent friendly at Hampden. Mm. I mean, you did give us a bit of a lesson that night. But I think Scotland have played England, six times in the last 10 years? And I think we just wanted something a wee bit different. And, well, we've got that in a couple of teams, and I'll bring up some stats later. But yeah, I'm glad. From a personal point of view, I didn't want England, France or Italy. Everyone else, I mean, yes, there was teams I would like to have had more, but I wasn't too worried. But those three were the ones I wanted to avoid. So from that point of view, I'm just happy we missed them. Yeah.
And England's a big distraction for Scotland as well. We always see it as the huge game. So then you kind of look at that more than any other two, whereas I suppose Germany becomes a bit more of the distraction, but at least we get them out the road first. And I'm delighted that we've got them first. I think if you're going to pick up an upset against Germany, especially with the way they are just now, it's going to be the opening game. I think it's really, you know, that's the time to get Germany. So I'm not saying that we're going to definitely beat them, but we're probably going to beat them. So it's going to be good to get that over and done with first.
Right. Craig, you're having to have your Swiss hat on here. So reaction in Switzerland to the draw, because we've seen some videos. Now, the manager, I don't know if it's been taken out of context, but it looked like the Swiss manager kind of almost dismissed Scotland as being the easy team in the group. I don't know if that was the case or not. Maybe it's just a small clip.
Given the recent results, I'd hope that wasn't his intention, but I think that's maybe kind of his English is okay, and I think maybe it's just came across that way. I don't think he means it like this will be an easy opponent, and it's definitely not, because as I said, those recent results in that group have been pretty terrible in qualifying. But the draw itself was fantastic for me, because I've been able to kind of enjoy them without Scotland being there, because Switzerland have always been in the tournament. So to have both teams there this time and then drawn in the same group is a pretty cool thing for me. So I've got a lot of friends, obviously, both sides, so it'll be a really fun experience that. Although I'm going to have to pick Scotland just to get that out of the way right now. But yeah, it's pretty cool for me.
And why Switzerland, just as a kind of background, Craig, why was Swiss football taken? Did you take to Swiss football?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of a long story, but about 10 years or so ago, I just randomly put on an FC Basel match in Champions League. I was watching it. I remembered when they played Celtic many years ago. I remember the kits and some of the players they had, and I liked some of those players, and you knew some of them from maybe Euro 2008 and things like that. And from there, I just randomly decided I'm going to start trying to follow Basel, and I did so. And they played Man United and put them out in that Champions League campaign. They won the last game 2-1. And then from there, I decided, because there was a lot of places on Twitter that had English language coverage for Spanish football, Italian, and there wasn't for Swiss football, I thought I'd just try it and see where it went. And ever since, that's been me, basically. Stuck with it now.
I always find it intriguing when, because normally Scots, apart from their own league, will look at like the English Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, Italian 90 from obviously, back in the day for football Italian. So I always find it intriguing when they pick out another country out with that, like Grant Campbell, friend of the podcast, he follows Northern Irish football almost religiously, which I think is interesting. You're also going down a similar road with the Swiss. Have you been fortunate enough to get out to Switzerland at all?
Yeah, only two times, but I went in 2017 for the cup final, FC Basel, and played Sion that year, and Sion had won every final they played in 13 times. And Basel won that game quite easily, so I like to think of myself as a bit of a lucky charm for that one. And then I went back last year to see Young Boys and to see Basel at home. And then I went down to Wembley for Switzerland's game against England, the friendly, last year as well. And then the women's team I seen last summer in the Euros in England. So I've been pretty fortunate to see kind of all the teams that I've wanted to see so far. I want to go back over soon, see a lot more of the country as well. But yeah, I've been fortunate that I've been able to kind of do this as a hobby, but also then get to experience a lot of cool things off the back of it. It's more than what I thought I would when I started it 10 years ago.
See, I've got a bit of affinity with Switzerland. It was the first place that I really spent abroad. My aunt lived in Geneva for a number of years. So in the 90s, I would always kind of look at the Swiss national team. Hodgson was obviously the manager, you had Turk Lamaze and players like that. So it's nice to see somebody taking a good involvement in that league, because as you say, you don't see a lot of English-speaking websites and Twitter accounts or whatever. So how do you feel about Scotland's chances against this Swiss team?
If you'd asked me maybe last year, I'd have been seeing it as a really quite an even game, but I would have gave Switzerland the edge. But now it's the other way. I think it'll still be quite even, quite tight, but I think Scotland are in a place right now where they can take anyone on, they're confident, and they could probably edge this game, because Switzerland over the last, basically this qualifying campaign, have ran into a lot of issues just with the manager, mentality issues, and it's just a totally unrecognisable team in a sense from what we've had over the last few years, because we've been so strong for such a long time, and then this last qualifying campaign's put a lot of doubt in people's minds. So I think they're going into the tournament in a kind of bad place, whatever happens, because you've only got a handful of couple of friendlies before it kicks off, and I don't really see how any of the issues can be ironed out before then. So I think I would give Scotland the edge, definitely.
It sounds a wee bit like Euro 96.
Sorry, go on.
It sounds a wee bit like Euro 96, because that was the start of the kind of decline for Switzerland. They'd qualified, you know, they'd done well, and then Roy Hodgson left, and it kind of, Scotland got them at the kind of perfect time, so almost like that again.
Yeah, I mean, Switzerland went through quite a big drought when, I can't remember the amount of years they weren't qualifying for tournaments, and Roy Hodgson was a big part of why they eventually came back. And since then, for the most part, it's been quite good. But the last decade or so, I think it's 10 out of the last 11 major tournaments they've qualified for. And granted, it's easier now to get into the Euros, but there's only a handful of teams that have done that. You know, big teams like France and England and Spain and Portugal, teams like this. Croatia's probably the only other one that would be on par with Switzerland in terms of ability. And even then, they've been to the World Cup final, and they always go quite deep in tournaments. So the team as a whole has been fantastic. I don't think they get enough credit for the consistency they've shown over the last decade or so. But I think it also raises expectations really high. I think there's been a lot of kind of arrogance in response to the draw. I think people just see this team as being able to kind of be on the same level as the elite teams, and it's probably on the cusp of that. But I think people just expect a lot from the team, and eventually it will come back to bite them, and I think this could be the time, because, like I say, this is a group where anything can happen, and I think a lot of people are just expecting that Switzerland will do what they've done over the last five tournaments, and that's just qualify easily, but I don't think it'll be that simple.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I think part of it comes down to, you know, the fact that at the moment in Europe, I don't think there's that many outstanding teams. So I think a lot of teams will fancy their chances are doing pretty well in this tournament. I would say, aside from France and England, I don't think there's many particular great teams. I do think England have got a good chance, as we said.
Yeah, there's no standouts, really, I don't think. And apart from France, always, for the last three, four tournaments, have been obviously the team with so much talent, and you've got a couple on the outside. But you look at teams like Germany and Portugal, Spain, they're not really anything like what they have been. They've got a lot of good players, but it's just not seeming to work. So I think there's a lot of reason why people can be optimistic for the smaller nations. This group as well, it's not dissimilar to what Switzerland had at the last Euros. You've got Wales in there who are very good, well, were a good team back then. What a spirit, kind of like Scotland in a sense. You had Turkey who were people's dark horses, and Hungary are kind of doing well just now as well. And then Germany, both a difficult opponent. So it's really, as I say, an open group.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's the thing about this group that makes it interesting, is that there's genuinely not much between any of the four teams, because Germany has been in a bit of a decline for a good while now. And, you know, I'm saying this before a tournament we play they're hosting, but they've not been in a great place. Hungary obviously showed some quality in the Nations League beating England. Sorry, Russell. But then they weren't convincing qualifying either, and obviously Swiss have been there, done it in terms of getting to tournaments, but, you know, they weren't fantastic in qualifying. I don't think there's much between any of the four sides. I mean, I think every one of the sides has got a case of saying we could win this group or finish second at worst in this group.
It's a big thing, though, coming from Germany, the fact that, like, they've not been playing competitive games. Like, you know what it's like when you play friendlies? It's kind of that way, you're trying out different things, and, you know, do players take it as seriously? I'm not quite sure.
But the performance in the World Cup wasn't good either, John.
Yeah, the World Cups, you know, and then, you know, you've lost a manager during that time. So that's a big thing as well. And then a new manager comes in, that's not even taken, you know, there's no bounce from that. It's and then, as I said earlier on, that brings in a lot of negativity and a lot of nerves for the first game. So that is a huge thing for them to try and get over. Not to say that they can't, you know, they're obviously still an elite team within world football. But, you know, as I said, before the draw was made, when you looked at that group, the top group, that Germany was the ones that I wanted out of, you know, the top seeds.
He's got some fancy ideas, Nagelsmann, because, Russell, you're an Arsenal fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine Kai Havertz playing at left back for Arsenal?
I must admit, when I saw that, it's a very strange situation to have put him in, and what the Germans are doing. Whenever you see Germany play prior to how they're playing at the moment, you always just say in your head, just never write off the Germans. And as much as they're going through a bad patch at the moment, I still think that come the tournament, the home effect that they'll have, I can't see them messing it up. I have to be honest, the Germans, you can't write them off, not as easily as it is sort of to say at the moment, just based on their current form. I do think when it comes round to it, they'll be the Germany that we know. They can't have two bad tournaments in a row, surely, can they?
There's a first time. There's a first time for that to happen. Do you know what I mean? It's like, because I'm trying to temper my excitement of it, but it's like it does seem to be that one. There has to be a first time for these things. You know, Italy have been through it. Holland have been through it. Yourselves have been through it. You know, back in the 90s. It's like there's no real. For at the moment, I can see there's no standout players. There's, you know, again, but you look at the opposite side, you could be the championship is where a standout player becomes a standout player. So it's hard because, as you say, Germany do seem to get it right for the big tournament. So you can't totally dismiss them. But you can't dismiss them at all when you're Scotland because they are that team. It's just that I just feel. There's something about them at the moment that needs a big switch, and it's not going to happen with just one managerial change. I think they need something like they did after the World Cup of 2006. We need to look at everything from top to bottom. But we'll wait and see. But that doesn't mean that they can't edge us 1-0, 2-1, whatever it in the first game. I'm not saying that we're definitely going to beat them. But at the moment, I just have no fear for them.
Yeah, and you see, Russell, they can have two bad teams in a row. I don't know if they've already had three in a row because 2018 they get knocked out in the World Cup when they were defending champions in the first round.
That's true.
Yeah. And in Euro 2020, they scraped through their group. I think they were third place. You know, they needed a late goal against Hungary to avoid going out on their own patch, I may add. And then obviously they were. Well and truly beaten by England in the last 16, then obviously the World Cup there, but they went out in the first round again. So it could be four bad tournaments in a row.
Can it keep going on then? I mean, the one game that would be the best time to get them, I guess, would be the opening game, would it? Like,
yeah.
Because if they lose that, then they've really got to put a performance in for the games against Hungary and Switzerland. But on the flip side, they've got a really go for it straight from the off in front of a home crowd. Is that in Munich, I guess, is it?
Yeah, it's in Munich. And, you know, the majority of pressure's on them for that game. You know, yes, there'll be some pressure on Scotland, but nowhere near the amount it's going to be in Germany. Everyone, you know, that's neutral is going to be looking at a game and thinking, it's a home win. Germany have got to win this game. Yeah. And the pressure on them after, you know, a difficult time is going to be enormous. So Scotland can go into that with absolutely no fear. And, you know, we've shown in recent years, you know, with the Spain performance, etc., that, you know, we're not scared of anyone. And yes, England beat us recently, but, you know, we're in a much better place than what we were a good few years ago.
I still think they're dangerous, especially at home. And you've got a guy like Sam Musiala, who's been on the scene for a few years. The boy Florian Wirtz at Leverkusen is the next one to break through for them, I think, as well. You've got guys like Rudiger at Real Madrid, you've got Kimmich, you've got Gundogan. They've got experience there. I think there's certain areas maybe that are weaker than previous German teams. But I think, again, like Russell, see at home, but I just think they'll be in shape. They'll somehow get in shape, I think. I can't see anything but them at least qualifying.
I do believe the best time to get them is that opening game, because normally it takes Germany a couple of games to get going in a tournament, and so this is our best chance, in my eyes. Incidentally, Scotland's record against Germany since they became a unified country again back in 1990, played seven. We've won one. There's been one draw and five defeats in that time. So I thought that's that. In.
Yeah. Like we talked about Switzerland a wee bit, we'll come on to them in more detail later. Hungary, though, a team that has qualified for the last couple of tournaments. We're unlucky, I think, at Euro 2020. They're in the toughest group, the group of death, with France, Germany and Portugal. Got a couple of draws in that tournament. Probably a team that maybe a bit like Scotland's emerging, getting more tournament experience all the time. Obviously, the biggest known name to us all will be Slobozia at Liverpool. But they have got some other kind of decent players that kind of play in maybe the Bundesliga as well. Also the boy Kerkez that moved to Bournemouth over the summer. What do you guys think about Hungary?
I think they're an atrocious team. They've done us a couple of times recently. Good. They've been good of late. I mean, they annihilated us at Wolves. We couldn't. They caught us on a bad day, but they played really well. Got a feeling we lost to them as well away. I'm just trying to have a quick look.
2-0, was it?
No, it's just excuse me, it's just 1-0 over in Budapest. That was in the away leg in the Nations League. Then they beat us 4-0 at home. Drew with them in 2021 in the World Cup qualifying. They've been a bit of a bogey team for us of late. And they were one team that I was quite happy to avoid. But how they'll do in a tournament, I'm not quite sure.
Russell, does the Hungary games kind of reflect on the dangers for England in the sense that while you've got world-class players, you've got Harry Kane, you've got Dele Alli, Jesus, that's not one of the players that I was meant to say. Bellingham is who I was trying to say. I'm going back to 8 years there.
Yeah.
It's the defence still and the goalkeeper that's still the kind of, for everybody else, I don't know about England yourselves, but for everybody else, it's like the defence could be the kind of testing point.
What, for Hungary?
No. For England, in terms of winning it, it's still going to be, have you got a good enough defence and goalkeeper?
Goalkeeper, personally, I think with Jordan Pickford, I think we're fine. But yes, it's the pairing of Maguire and Stones. As much as the negativity around Harry Maguire, he seems to turn it on for England. He's played 9 of the last 10 games for England. Okay, put his ball in the own net against you guys. But other than that, I thought he was relatively solid. He seems to be all right for England when he's paired with John Stones. And John Stones of late has been quite injury prone. And if we go into the tournament in a suspect position at the back, then that's where we can potentially come undone, because Southgate tends to flip between his back four, his back three, or his wing backs, and you kind of sometimes don't really know where you are at the back. We're in that position where we've got no one to really come in and cover for Maguire and Stone. So yes, you're right. That's where we can be caught out. We're quite happy with Bellingham and Kane and Saka and everyone in the more forward positions, or your Declan Rice maybe at covering at the back. But it is that back line where teams can counter against us.
It's everywhere else. It's probably the strongest England have been. I know the golden generation and everything else, but as a team and even individually, you know, Bellingham just seems that kind of bit over the top than everybody else that I've seen at England in that level. Kane's obviously a fantastic goal scorer, so everything else seems to be ticking all the boxes. It's just there is that question mark. And you're only ever going to answer that in a tournament, and you know that's where you're going to be. And Maguire, to be fair to him, in tournaments does seem to be where he gets it right as well. So it'll be interesting to see how England progress, and then whether or not Southgate progresses after that for the Euros and whether or not you can probably, you know, if you can win it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, regards to Southgate, his contract comes up at the end of the tournament. Who is the $64,000 question that we still ask, who would take over from him? So, yeah, who knows what will happen after that. But you mentioned the golden generation. That period of time, your 2004, 2006, they were individual players, as good as they all were, your Beckhams, your Rooneys and the like, Lampard, Gerrard, but they just didn't have that same cohesion as a team that the team we have now. I mean, you mentioned Bellingham. Well, everyone knows how good a player he is. But it seems like when they all get together at St George's Park, it's just one of the lads. There's no egos like there appeared to be looking back on that golden generation time period. So that could be one of our reasons going in our favour.
And it was interesting because when he won the Golden Boy Award, he did mention how he wanted to win things with his club and his country. It was very much, you know, both focused on both. It wasn't a case of, you know, I'm at Real Madrid, that's my main focus. It was Real Madrid and England.
I'm just conscious of how much Real Madrid are playing him. There was an article I saw recently where I think he had a shoulder injury or something. I know he withdrew from the recent games that we had, but again, as with any team in this tournament, we get an injury that can just throw a huge spanner in the works. And if we lose Bellingham, God forbid if we lose Kane, fortunately his ankles seem to be all right at the moment and he's doing all right in Germany, but we lose one of those and all of a sudden the wheels could come off.
Going back to Hungary then as well, when you played Hungary, it's a good link in. Apart from England having an off day, what kind of style did you see from Hungary? Like, what kind of dangers did you see?
I seem to remember them being quite aggressive, or they just pounced on us, really. Every mistake that we made, Pickford actually, I mean, you say about Pickford maybe being a weak link, it wasn't Pickford in goal that day, it was Ramsdale, I believe, when we lost 4-0 at Wolves. But from what I seem to remember was they were just aggressive and made it work for them. And they were first to every ball. I can only put that probably down to us having a equally bad day as well.
Yeah.
Interesting stat that Scotland and Hungary have played each other 9 times, but they've never met in a competitive match or in terms of qualifying in the finals.
Yeah, I think Hungary are like us. I think maybe technically a wee bit better, but I think it's a lot about the team and the team spirit and everything else. Even our manager looks a bit like Steve Clarke. He's like the Italian version of Steve Clarke. So they're the ones that, you know, when we got there, it's like they're on a good run. They're going to be a tough team. Listen, all three games are going to be very tough for us. Let's not be kidding ourselves on. But Hungary, you know, it was one that kind of raised my eyebrows. Like, yeah, that's going to be a very tough game for us.
Unbeaten in qualifying as well. 5 wins, 3 draws. Good record. Yeah. Similar to us as well. They don't have a kind of natural goal scorer up top. Goals come mainly maybe from midfield. Pretty tight at the back as well.
It's going to be 3 really tight games between that Scotland are coming up in the tournament. I'd imagine the other matches are going to be similar. Like that game between Hungary and Switzerland the day after we play Germany, that's going to be an intriguing one as well. You know, we'll be watching that just as much as we'll be watching our own game, obviously. And Hungary also proved in the last Euros against Germany in their own country, in Munich. I know it was different crowds because of COVID, etc. But, you know, they're not scared of anyone either. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me... it wouldn't surprise me if they qualified through, but as long as it's with us, I'm not bothered who qualifies.
What's your thoughts, Craig, on that opening game between Hungary and Switzerland?
I think it's a great opportunity. If the opening game goes like most would expect, although I hope not, Germany will probably win. And then if Switzerland can beat Hungary, then that gives them a great start before they then play Scotland to essentially possibly get themselves qualified, especially with the third place teams as well. So it's a great opportunity. But I think all those three teams, with Germany, will be looking at the group and all fancy their chances. I think they all think they can beat each other. And it'll be really fascinating those opening games to really see how they fare. But Hungary is going to be a difficult opposition for Switzerland because they played a few years ago and qualifying for Euro 2016, I think it was. And Hungary weren't as good as they are now. They were dropping points to Andorra and things like that. And they're a totally different team now, a totally different prospect. So I think they're going to throw a spanner in the works for a lot of people. I don't think people will maybe have went under the radar a little, that they've done so well recently. So yeah, I think it's going to be, that'll be a really important game for Switzerland. And the winner of that will give themselves a huge boost if it is a winner, of course.
I think it's important for Switzerland as well in terms of, like, it seems to be a bit of a transitional team at the moment. You've got obviously your older guys like Sommer, Shaqiri and that, but then you've got your younger guys coming through like Okafor, Vargas as well. So there's a wee bit of a kind of different kind of team there, but plenty of experience within it as well.
Yeah, well, this team's been together for such a long time. Basically through this journey where they've qualified so consistently, it's been the same kind of main core guys, and it's been great because there's experience there and you can rely on a lot of these players. But then there's been so much over-reliance on guys like Shaqiri, who he scored something like, I think it's 13 out of 25 goals, Switzerland's last 25 goals at major tournaments he scored or assisted. So you take him out of that team and it's almost like it's a scary thought for the future, because you don't really know where the creativity is going to come from. And so if anything happens to Shaqiri, then that's an issue in itself. There is a lot of young players coming through, but again, it was mentioned earlier about Hungary and Scotland not really having that out-and-out striker to score the goals, and it's similar with Switzerland because they've never really had that either, not since maybe the days of Alex Frey and Marco Strela, and they weren't as good a team back then as they are now. And so you've had guys like Seferovic and Gavranovic who've scored big goals, scored against France in that game where they came back and put them out on penalties, but you can't really rely on those goals. You've got players like Mbolo and Zeki Amduni, who hopefully will be good in the future, but hopefully now, but Mbolo has been quite injury prone, and Amduni has had a great start, but again, he's still young. It's a lot of pressure on his shoulders as well, but there is a lot of youth coming through that you hope can really bridge that gap. But again, it's a kind of scary prospect when the guys like Shaqiri and Granit Xhaka retire, which won't be too far in the future. So I don't really know what Switzerland looks like maybe in 3-4 years' time.
See, the one thing about, because I looked at the last Switzerland squad, and Cedric Itan getting into the squad, kind of, I don't think he got a fair chance at Rangers, if I'm being honest, but I also didn't see an international striker there when I did see him. So, I know Switzerland probably won't be playing him as a number nine. You know, if he's in the squad, he'll be as a squad player. But the boy that you mentioned, the boy at Burnley,
Amduni,
I don't want to butcher his name. He's the one I think is going to be, you know, a real threat. And again, it's like, as I said about tournaments, is when you can make your name. It could be the time for him to really, as an international stage, just kind of grow and kind of show himself off.
Yeah, there's been kind of a reluctance as well from the manager to play him so often. He had such a fast start, and in the group stage he played 11 minutes for his debut, and then when he came back in for this qualifying campaign, he scored something like five goals in his first four games. And then those last two games, he was kind of coming off the bench and the manager was going with different things. And it seems obvious to me that Amduni should be the one playing. Again, when Mbolo comes back, because he was in such good form before his injury, that's another question. But then you'll have a good depth where you can change him up and things like that. But right now, Amduni's that player that he has to start because he's got a real eye for goal. We've seen that last season. He was practically pretty much responsible for a weak Basel team getting to the semi-final of the Conference League. His goals throughout that knockout stage, big goals for a young player who was on loan at the time from a side that was in the second division. It's been quite the rise for him, and again, he's in the Premier League now. He's playing at a team that's relegation threatened, and he's not scoring obviously a lot of goals, but he's still influencing games, and he looks a real good prospect for us.
He's the one that stands out for Burnley. I've noticed his name's the one that keeps on kind of cropping up in attacking situations.
Yeah, normally I would say it was a kind of odd move for him, especially this early in his career going to the Premier League. I've seen it before where players move early and they kind of get swallowed up by pressure and all those sorts of things. There's been many players that if they don't hit the ground running, then they're going to basically be out of the team, and they, more often than not, they end up back in Switzerland. Or they go to the Bundesliga because that's obviously the next best option for them. But he's came to a club that's got a manager who I think has a lot of kind of faith in his players and the way he plays and his style and all that sort of stuff. So I wasn't too worried about him going there. I think he's going to get the chance, and when the time comes, he'll move from Burnley and he'll go to a bigger team and he'll keep making his mark. But as you say, he's probably been the best player for them so far, and it's good signs for not only next summer but just his career in general.
John, what's the stats for a head-to-head with Switzerland?
Right, so we've played Switzerland 16 times and Scotland have won half of them with 8. The last one, of course, coming at Euro 96, which was Scotland's last major finals victory. There's been 3 draws and there's been 5 defeats. And in terms of the last few times we've played, certainly in my lifetime, we played them twice in Euro 92 qualifying and then twice in World Cup 94 qualifying and then obviously that Euro 96 game. But last time we played Switzerland was in a friendly in 2006, where we lost 3-1. And apparently we were going to play them again in March, but because of the draw, that's not happening. So we're interested to see what happens in these friendlies that are coming up.
We're going to then switch over to some other reactions from some of the podcast team on the draw. So we will leave you in the capable hands of Aaron, Vinny, Robbie, Dave and Chris.
Hello, I'm Derek Ray, and you're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast.
Hello, it's Erin. Very pleased about the draw. Very exciting to have Germany and have the opening game. I think having the opening game is quite special. Like, we're going to be opening the Euros. Plus, there are people who won't watch the whole thing because they're not interested in football, or they're just not bothered, or like there's just a lot of games on. But they'll watch the opening game, and it's going to be us, front and centre. Lovely. Out of Group A as well, Germany, not terrible at all. Hungary, didn't know a lot about how good they were. According to Google, they are a respectable team. But I would say fine from that. I quite wanted teams that we hadn't played loads before. I think it makes it a little bit more interesting. And Switzerland, well, the flag's a big plus. Actually, Switzerland, I think 15th ranked in the world, and not too bad, actually. Probably, I would say the trickier out of Switzerland and Hungary is Switzerland. So I think if we can get something out of the first game, we will then play 2 sides that I think we could definitely take something off, hopefully 2 wins. And I think the main thing is actually going to be how the other results go and whether they go in our favour. But no, very exciting, very good, great, absolutely brilliant to be there. And great draw, I think. Better than some of the other groups. Quite pleased with it.
Hello, it's Vinny here. Here's my thoughts on the Euro 2024 draw. Very pleased with it. At one point you're fearing the worst, but we end up getting Germany. So in the opening game, and I think that's going to be a fantastic game to watch. Germany are famously slow starters in tournaments, so yeah, I think we can go there and upset the hosts, which is brilliant. Switzerland, home of the Toblerones, and like Toblerones, I think we'll have 3 points from that as well. And in the final game, we'll leave them all hungry for more. So I'm very, very pleased with the draw, and I think our names on the trophy, basically. Bit worried about France, but that's probably it. We can beat them in the final, probably, on a one-off. It's 11 against 11, isn't it? No bother.
Good evening, Robbie Hunratty here, reacting to Scotland's European Championship draw. And I must say, being paired with host Germany, Switzerland and Hungary, I'm really excited for it. And I genuinely believe that Steve Clark's men can get out of that group and through to the knockout stages. What's really intriguing is the fact that it will be the first game of the tournament, so all eyes will be on it in Munich in the start of June. And I think that's got to be good because the pressure's already on German manager Julian Nagelsmann as we speak. Maybe there could be a change in regime come the tournament, and they haven't played any competitive games, having qualified automatically. Yeah, they'll have friendlies in the process, but Scotland, we're looking good and have a really quality squad of players to choose from. I don't envy Steve Clark having to pick just 23, but I trust his choice, whoever he takes. And on the opponents, Germany are certainly not the same side that won the World Cup in 2014. Been a lot of changes over the last decade. And yeah, they'll be tricky, but for the pot one side, I think we've landed lucky getting them. Hungary, we've seen them defeat England emphatically in recent times, and they're up and coming. But same level as Scotland in my eyes. They'll be thinking the exact same, that they can progress and do well. But you just never know. In Switzerland, yes, the serial tournament goes, but we've got quality. We've seen what we can do against the likes of Spain and Norway in a qualifying group. And let's continue that on into another major tournament. And let's give the Tartan Army a very special summer 2024.
Hi, David here. Just giving you my thoughts on the Euro 2024 draw. I think it's a very good draw from a Scotland perspective. First and foremost, Germany. It's a great opportunity for Scotland to go and put down a marker, get a result. I think it's a great opportunity because Germany are nowhere near the proposition they were, even if as recent as a few years back. Germany used to be a top, top country. That in terms of all the teams that we could have got from the top seed, that was one you would have been looking at and pointing and happily take. So I think Germany, yeah, it's a perfect opportunity to get a result, but it's also a perfect opportunity to lay down a marker for the other countries that are going to be participating in this tournament. As far as Switzerland's concerned, I've always had a soft spot for Switzerland, but I think it's a good opportunity to get points again. As I say, we've got the mentality now under the stewardship of Steve Clark, where we can go and get points against any side. We've shown it against like Austria, Spain, who are decent sides in their own right. And I think it's a great opportunity for Scotland to really put down another marker on the Wednesday when we play Switzerland. Switzerland have had Hungary, so that could have a bit of a must-win territory to it, I'm not going to lie to you. But it's an opportunity for Scotland to go and do well. And yeah, it's an opportunity to get a much-needed win. Hungary, that could potentially be a decider with regards to progressing from the group. Again, I think it's a good group one to get. Obviously, the game will be on the Sunday. What's some incentive, hopefully, for Scotland to go and qualify, courtesy of that Hungary game. So, yeah, there's, in terms of other groups, there was a lot of other groups in there, that, like Group of Death, is it Group C or Group D? I think it's Group C. The one explained question. But no, happy with the draw. And looking forward to next summer then.
Absolutely buzzing. Absolutely buzzing. We are opening Euro 2024 against Germany. I mean, I picked different teams that we would get, but one of the things I thought of, that if we're going to get Germany, getting them in the opening game, they're there for the taking, the pressure will be on, and they're not good. We can take them, and if we can get a decent result in the first game, we carry that on into the second game against the Swiss. We played the Swiss in Euro 96, remember, we did beat them on the coach goal. Great memories of that. the Swiss, we can take them. And then the final game against Hungary. I'm absolutely buzzing. Absolutely buzzing. I genuinely think we're going to make the knockout round in the next tournament. It's for the first time ever. And I mean, when you look at some of the other groups, I mean, England got their piss easy group, of course. But at least we're going to get Group D. The winner of the playoff A, the Netherlands, Austria, France. Netherlands are the ones that got it instead of us. So, yeah, absolutely delighted. Cannot believe it. We're going to open the tournament again. France take the 8 memories all over again. I am absolutely buzzing.
You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast.
Right, so good wee segment there. Right, the rest of the draw from the other groups, we're all glad we're not in Group B, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Croatia, Italy, Albania. So you've got Spain ranked 8th, Croatia ranked 10th, Italy 9th, Albania 62nd.
Yeah, so we would have been where Croatia was. So when you're first looking at that, when it was just Spain and Albania, you're thinking you would take that because we know we can go toe to toe with Spain, and Albania was one of the preferred options from pot two. But then had it been us in that section instead of Croatia, and then we get Italy, then it all of a sudden becomes a more daunting prospect. So yeah, I'm delighted we avoided Group B.
And then it comes interesting with the third place finishes and, you know, who finishes third place, who's the best finish in the third place and things like that. So, you know, you get a good win over Albania. Is that enough? I don't know. Listen, I'm not discounting Albania, but I looked at that draw and Group B was definitely not the one I wanted to be in.
Is this way? Group B, Albania, Ramadani is going to be the start of the tournament and make Aberdeen a shed load of money, so it's all good. Russell, what are you going to say there? Sorry.
So I was going to say, I mean, is this, obviously you look at that, excuse me, and you say, is that the group of death? But with three teams potentially progressing through it, do we still have a group of death now? Because you could see Spain, Croatia, Italy all going through.
Well, just depends, as Scott says, like, is one win enough, or would you need to be picking up a win and a draw at least to guarantee you're going to get through?
But you can see that happening, though. You can see one of them drawn with each other and then the other one, you know, both the other teams beating Albania. As Russell says, I don't think it is now a group of death. I think it's not a group you maybe want to be in if you're Scotland, but it's not that the worst thing, because you don't know that there's still a chance of you going through, even if you finish third.
Thing is, though, for me, the threshold doesn't seem to be very high. And obviously, it changes from tournament to tournament, but I always remember the first one when it had this criteria in Portugal. I think they drew all three of their games and they went through in third and ended up winning the tournament. It depends, obviously, on everything else, but I don't think it's too... I think there's just so many teams go through that it's really difficult not to qualify in some cases.
I think it's more likely if you get 4 points, that should be enough. If you look at previous tournaments, but even in, 2016, you mentioned Portugal got through with 3, and so did Northern Ireland because they lost by they only had a -1 goal difference. In fact, it was a dead level goal difference they had. Because they beat Ukraine 2-0, lost 1-0 the other two games, and then the last year was there. I'm pretty sure there was at least one team that got through with 3 points. I know Slovakia went out with 3 points, but then they lost 5-0 to Spain, which done them. So I think realistically you're looking at 4 points for qualification, and well, Croatia are capable of, if they're capable of taking points off Spain and Italy as well. So I think there's a good chance all four will, all those three sides will go through and Albania will go out with nothing.
That said, I mean, just Italy, from having played them twice this year, and without blowing our own trumpet to say we beat them twice, but are they just a big name in their name? Because player-wise at the moment, they don't seem to be the Italy that we know from the past.
I think one of the biggest issues when I've looked at media online is that your Italian players aren't getting a big opportunity to play. And the ones that maybe are playing are getting fast-tracked. Don't mean there's a guy. Mancini was calling up 17-year-olds just to get him involved, just to get him capped and get him experience, because he figured that he can't actually find good players at the top clubs, enough good players.
It's because the Scots are going over there and taking over John. That's what it is. They just can't get in ahead of Josh Doig and Lewis Ferguson, who can't either get in the squad or in our starting lineup. But I think, let's be honest about it. I think Euro 2020 and the timing of it came at a good time for them. They were on that good run and they took advantage, but they did fail to qualify for either World Cup as well. And, you know, losing to North Macedonia in the playoff at home, you know, was a real shocker, and their record in qualifying wasn't great. And I watched the game against England, and they were, I thought England were so comfortable in that game. After they went behind, yeah. Once England got level, there was only one team ever winning that game. And I watched their match against Ukraine, and again, there was a bit of a dodgy penalty incident they got away with as well a few minutes ago. That could have easily been a penalty to Ukraine on another night. So they're not in a great place, but I still prefer not to have got them.
I think Chiesa is a big player for them. I think he's, since Euros, he's had a lot of kind of injuries and things. I think he's a big player for them. And also missing the defence. Obviously, they'd built on the defence, and now they're not as strong at the back, that's for sure. So it's strange, because you do think, well, they're actually the holders of the competition. But you wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be. No, I don't know who they beat. So, but you would. You
only
would,
on penalties. It was a draw.
They did what Scotland did. They drew with England. But it was the. You wouldn't be surprised if they get knocked out in the group stages. You know, we have seen it obviously happen before in big tournaments that the holders get knocked out and stuff. But yeah, it's not going to be a huge surprise if they weren't to get through. Other than the fact, obviously, there's three teams that get put out, but. The squad isn't full of star names, that's for sure.
And one of those teams, I think, that, you know, they've got players like Chiesa who can take the game by the scruff of the neck and just finish it. You know, those top players that you still want to avoid them for those reasons. You just don't want to take the chance against them, because they've got players that can just, if that player turns up on that day, his absolute best, then you've not really got a chance. But they're definitely beatable. I've watched them couple of times when they played Switzerland in the World Cup qualifiers, and they finished second in a group, and they just looked quite toothless. They didn't have a lot in attack, and then when I've seen them in this qualifying campaign, they've not been up to much either. So I think they're far from the team they've been. Especially they were calling up players from Argentina. They called up a player who was at Zurich. He's before he moved to Leeds, and that's kind of unheard of for a player that was playing in Switzerland to be in the cap, given his debut for the Italian national team. So, yeah, I don't think they're anywhere near where they used to be, but I think I agree when I say that I would like to avoid them just because they've got players that can hurt you still.
In the last squad, there was nobody in that squad that had more than 10 international goals. They were all under 10 goals, which again, I think just shows more the depth that's not there, that used to be there with Italy. So, yeah, it's another interesting team that you're going to. What Italy is going to turn up, you just don't know.
We failed at Croatia. Have had their period of being one of the kind of top nations, and probably are on the decline.
I think so. They weren't great in the qualifiers again there. I mean, Turkey and Wales both beat them in October, and it was looking dodgy for them. In fact, to be frankly honest, had Wales not blew it again in two games against Armenia, they could have been in that section instead of the Croatians, to be frankly honest. And I mean, even the last World Cup, I know they got to the semi-final again, but, you know, it was another two penalty shootouts, and Croatia actually haven't won a knockout match since France 98. Even though they reached the World Cup final, it was two penalty shootouts and an extra time against England. They've not won a match in 90 minutes to knockout stages since then, which I think is incredible stat.
Makes a good tournament team, though, if they can't beat 90 minutes, that's a thing.
They have their luck, by the way. Could Scotland have their luck? Because I don't mind no winning games if we could get through.
Yeah, true. Aye.
But I don't know, Russell, Craig, what do you think of Croatia?
Well, I thought at Euro 2020 they were probably on the way down, and they weren't, because they beat Scotland and they did quite well after that. And then, of course, at the World Cup as well. So they're one of those ones that I don't really want to write off, and definitely happy to avoid, because they seem to just have a way of getting the results. You mentioned all those penalty shootouts and extra time wins, and they just seem to seemed to pull out the bag. And qualifying wasn't great for them, but again, they did what was required in the end and they got there. So, yeah, they're always a team that's going to cause issues for anybody they come up against. So I think they can have a good tournament, but it's a tricky group. But again, I would expect them to probably come out of that group, at least in third place.
Yeah, I think Croatia, having obviously lost to them in the semi, and then the group game last time around, we just got by with a 1-0 win. But they just seem to be a team with the same familiar faces. And you think, how long can this team keep going before they really sort of blood some new faces? And sort of the last tournament, in the World Cup, you thought this is surely their last go as the squad that we know it as. Who knows, really? They've obviously got a good sort of set of players there, and perhaps there's something in the water there in the Balkans where they can go on a little bit longer.
Yeah, we've obviously got experience of Spain. Could Spain win the tournament?
Possibly. I think they're third favourites behind England and Italy. It's England and France, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I know that we got them at a good time because they were still transitioning under a new manager, and you know they made changes that game, but that backfired on them. They were a little bit fortunate against us with the VAR call that night, which we won't go into too much. But I think they're definitely showing signs of becoming a good team again, and you know, Rodri, for always slacking him off, he is a top player. You know, they've got some cracking young players coming through as well. I think they'll go far in the competition. I think they'll. I haven't looked at the draw proper in terms of who they can meet and where, but it wouldn't surprise me if Spain went far in this competition. That's for sure.
If they got the firepower though for it, Morata's got a good international record, but against the really big teams, against your England, your France, you know, have they got the firepower to actually take the game away from teams? You know, they could obviously get the possession and all the rest of it. I'd be just, the one worry I would have about Spain, very opposite to what I've got with England, is offensively, can they put games to bed and just run away with the important games? That would be my only question mark with Spain. They're very good. Every other department, and I think they are getting back to that kind of possession football, and they look very nice on the ball. It's just in that kind of final third in the big games, will they have enough?
Superstar in the making in the boy Yamal at Barcelona.
But is it too early for him to really make a claim? It's maybe easier than an international tournament for a young teenager.
Group D, obviously we need to find out who wins a playoff out of Wales, Finland, Poland, Estonia, but Netherlands, Austria and France, we all know France will be favourites for it. I cannot believe that Netherlands are ranked sixth in the world currently, because I do not see Netherlands as being a good team.
Yeah, they are, and France beat them twice easily. However, they are still a decent team. I mean, we wouldn't have been in with the Netherlands because they were the same pot as us. So we would have been up against Austria and France in playoff winner A. I personally think Wales will come through that. I think it's landed perfectly for them, two home games. And even though they're without Bale, I still think they've got a decent enough team to beat Finland and then the winners of Poland versus Estonia. And then they've got a tough group. I don't see Wales coming through that. France will win that group. And I can see Austria coming through with 4 points, with 4 points as well. Because I think they'll take some off the Dutch.
What the rest of you think about that group?
Well, I think that's probably, we were talking about the group of death earlier. I think this one has a lot of potential to be that, especially if, depending who comes through that playoff, as long as it's not Estonia, then definitely it could be a group of death, because France will probably win it, but Austria are very good right now. They've produced some good results in qualifying, and then they beat Germany in that friendly recently as well. And then Netherlands, I don't really rate highly, but of course you can't write them off either. So I think that'll be a really exciting group. But I would put France to go through it, and then again Austria. I think Austria have a chance to finish in second in there.
Yeah, I think France is your obvious choice to go to top that group and obviously go far in it. But I think from my own perspective, and I'm sure from a Scotland perspective as well, it's quite good to not be waiting until March to know who you're facing to like complete the groups. Because we were waiting on you guys to come through the last time around because of the way that this new format is. It's just frustrating to be having two names, you know who you're going to be playing, and one out of a possible four that you're always looking at. And you can just imagine that the Austrians, the Dutch and the French are all looking at it going, well, I wonder who we'd prefer to have. Could we play, what's our previous record against Wales, or have we done against Poland in the past? And that equates obviously to those in Group E and Group F as well. But weren't France and Netherlands in the same qualifying group as well, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. And in your group, Russell, Denmark and Slovenia were in the same group as well.
Well, they both finished even points. The only thing that split them was goal difference, I believe.
If we talk about England being lucky, another team that's been lucky, though, I think on the decline, Belgium, because they got Slovakia, Romania, and the winners are the B playoff, which to me looks fairly, you know, straightforward. I mean, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Ukraine, Israel, Iceland, much as we've had our problems with Israel, I think that's a pretty, could be a pretty straightforward group for Belgium.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even though they've got an aging team, they still have, you know, Lukaku still banging goals for fun. De Bruyne, when he gets back fit, you know, will be a key player for them. And I don't really rate any of the teams that they're going to be coming up against. I mean, Romania, they won their group against Switzerland, but again, they weren't overly convincing. There was a lot of drawn games in that group between a few teams. Slovakia, no, they just about got through ahead of Luxembourg in their section. They nearly missed out. I wasn't impressed with Slovakia in the last Euros and the World Cup qualifying. They weren't great. And any of the playoff winners beat, I think Ukraine will be the strongest team in that. I mean, Bosnia were terrible in that qualifying cap. I think they finished second bottom. But because of what pot they were in terms of the Nations League, they qualify that way, for the playoffs that way. And Israel, I didn't realise Zahavi was as old as 36. So there's a player that's getting on a bit. And Iceland have been on a decline as well. So yeah, Belgium will walk that group. And I can actually see only two teams going through that group because I can see there being a couple of draws.
I'd be surprised if Belgium didn't get maximum points in that group, because the other teams, as we've said, are not really up to much. I know that Romania finished ahead of Switzerland, but that group was so weak, which is why it's much more disappointing that Switzerland underperformed so badly in it. Israel were maybe hampered by having to play their games in a neutral venue, but again, they weren't up to much either. And it's probably a good thing for the teams in Scotland's group and Scotland that Switzerland struggled so much against these teams, because it kind of shows the state Switzerland are in. But yeah, Belgium should take maximum points in this group. It'd be a disappointment if they don't, and I don't see them going far, but they should definitely find this group easy.
Finally, Group F. Now, how many times did Turkey get talked about as being dark horses or being the surprise team to do well? Is this a team that Turkey could do well? They seem to have a kind of quite a youthful side, a lot of young players coming
Christmas
through.
Christmas, eh?
What else?
It's not good for Turkey, Christmas.
Oh, hey.
I think I kind of said there was dark horses the last time and they were absolutely hoofing, so I'm not doing it again. Watching. I'm not doing it again. I'm a bit wary of Turkey now.
Yeah, I'm the same. I had Turkey down as semi-finalists last time. They went out in the group stages. They were honking in the last tournament. It was because of the way the draw was working, things like that as well. But yeah, I called that wrong. Should have called it Denmark. But they've been decent in this section. It just depends what Turkey turns up. I mean, one minute they can go beat a team like Norway away from home or Netherlands at home, and then the next minute they're drawn with Latvia. That's what cost them the World Cup as well. I mean, they're a really funny team that way. But I would expect Portugal to win that section. And then I think Turkey and Czech Republic, it's between those two for who finishes second and possibly goes to his best third place side, because I don't think any of the playoff winners see will cause much problem, to be honest.
Here's a quick question about Portugal. Is this going to be Ronaldo's last tournament, or is he going to somehow be like what Michael Jackson was going to do back in the day and freeze himself and like just be immortal? Is he surely can't go on after this tournament another tournament, can he?
What is he, 38?
Yeah.
That's...
I'm not even sure he's he can go back to America right now anyway, because he's got those allegations against him. So I'm pretty sure if he goes to America, he'll be the police want to question him. So
right, he can just play the games in Mexico and
Canada. Yeah.
See, Craig's just that's the nail on the head. That'll be the only reason. I could see him actually go on into his early 40s. You know, 40 wouldn't surprise me, but yeah, he won't be going to America, so it could be a time for him just to say, right, that's me, thank you very much.
He'll make that decision. What did you say?
Chance of winning it.
They've got an outside chance. They've got a decent squad. I mean, if they can... If the big players turn up, like Bruno Fernandes, as Derek rightly calls him, Bruno Fernandes, calls him. If he turns up, then they've got a chance. But he's so erratic at Manchester United right now. You know, he's either a 2 out of 10 or a nine or ten out of ten. There's very little in between with him. It just depends on mood he's in. They're certainly a dark horse. It could be interesting. See if Greece come through this playoff. You've got a repeat of the opening game and final of year 2004.
Yeah, we don't want that though. That was a boring game, is it not? From what I remember, Greece were boring throughout that tournament.
Final.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure you'd take it though. It'd be boring throughout.
Of course I would take that as well. I think Portugal, you say can Portugal win it? I think if they come up against France or they come up against England, they're not capable of beating those two teams. And that's why I don't think they would win it. I think they would need a very like a Greece type draw of Euro 2004 to and what they did previously as well. Was it 2016 that they won the Euros? They would need something very. You know, I think they've had their luck from that tournament, to be honest.
Yeah, and also I'm not convinced Martinez for the bigger games has got it either.
I like the Portuguese team. But I think they've not really performed in the last couple of tournaments. And to me, they're still relying on Pepe in defence. And he's, what, 40 now? And he's still good in Portugal. He still plays well for Porto. But I just don't see a 40-year-old defender helping a team win a major tournament. And also, they were in quite a weak group where they racked up a lot of goals against Luxembourg and Bosnia, Iceland. So I think that kind of paints a better picture than there actually is. But I think they'll do well. We've got some really exciting attacking players, midfield players, and they should get out of the group and see where they go from there. But yeah, like Scott said, I think once they play France or someone like that, I can't see them being able to win that game.
The other issue is if Ronaldo stifles them like he did in the World Cup as well, and it becomes, you know, the Ronaldo show and everything else. It just, you know, there's lots of different kind of scenarios.
Right, okay. Predictions time. I know the tournament's obviously a good few months away, right? 6 months away. But we need some predictions and we'll get this all bookmarked for you to be embarrassed when the tournament finishes. So, John, first of all, who are going to be the winners of 2024?
I think it's between two. Now, do I go with the team that's going to get me battered off this podcast, or do I go with the safe option, go with France? I'll just go for the French, just to be safe. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a France-England final. I think it's between those two to win it.
Good, I'm glad you never made a cock of yourself there. Dark horse?
Dark horse, ooh. I was going to say Spain, but they're not really for that. Of course, I've got the third favourites. So I'm going to say Portugal.
Right. Top scorer.
Just because of the group they're in, because it is such an easy group, I'm going to say Lukaku. Yeah.
Scott, winners?
Scotland.
Right,
yeah. Is it? If not Scotland, then France.
You're going for France, really, then. So Scotland, your dark horses, then?
No, dark horses, I'll go the Netherlands, because everybody is kind of counting them out. So I'll a nice wee win for them in Germany would be just up their street.
Okay. And top scorer?
Harry Kane. I like the group they've got. And, you know, he's in Germany just now, isn't he? So, yeah, Harry Kane.
Okay. Russell, who is winning it?
I mean, I'd love to say England. I'd love to say that we'll win it. I'm a bit of a glass half empty person. I don't like to. France, you can't look past France either. France, I think, obviously, World Cup finalists, the way they played in that game, the way they got to the final, obviously beat us in the quarter final. I think immediately I would say France, to be honest.
Hey, okay. Dark horse of the tournament.
Ooh, what, to win it or just to be a... I'm inclined to sort of say Turkey as not to win it, but to get progressively far. But again, I don't know if I'm just going off of historical sort of thoughts of, yeah, that they're always maybe got the potential to do it. Yeah, perhaps I'll stick with Turkey on that one.
What, Turkish and German as well? Have a good backing.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Top scorer?
This I will go. Like Scott, I think I can't look past Harry Kane, although I'm sure Mbappe will run him close, run him fast. But yeah, I'm going to stick with Harry Kane for that.
I can't believe no one said Scott McTominay so far. Craig, who's your winner?
France. Can't look past France with the kind of depth they have. And Mbappe, I just don't see. England would be the closest, but yeah, France for me.
Dark horses?
I think not necessarily to win it, but I think Austria will have a good tournament.
Yeah, again, you would think they would have a good backing, close to Germany. And top scorer?
Yeah, I'll go with Mbappe, since you know what we said, yeah.
Mbappe, yeah. Right. Any other reactions before?
No, John, what's your... try and get it. That's what's your prediction.
Right, winner's France. It's pretty boring, but we're all going for France. Dark horses. I mean, Croatia, to be honest, because their tournament record is amazing. And also Luka Modric's last tournament. So I'll go Croatia. And for the same reason that John gave in terms of the group that they've got, I'm going Lukaku, top goal scorer. Belgium could only get to the last 16 and still he could finish top goal scorer. So go for him. Plus also, what, 14 goals in qualifying? So not hard to see by him. Aye. So, any other reaction before the smallest of quizzes?
Right. Can I just say now? I'm going to say France are definitely not going to win this. If we've all backed France, I've never been on any sort of podcast or any sort of poll that's gone on social media or anything. But everybody's went with the one team that it's actually ever happened. So I'm now thinking it's not going to be France.
It's just the fact that France have got about. There's players that don't even get in the squad that would get into the squads of most other nations, but yeah, France or England, isn't it? Maybe Portugal.
I think so.
Right. Smallest of quizzes. High-low. Russell, I know you liked the high-low game last time that you were on. The good thing is, though, you're no embarrassed because there's no England players involved, right, in this one. It's purely on our group A, right?
Go on.
So I'm going to base it on the opening game, Germany v Scotland, and the other game, Hungary versus Switzerland, right? You've all got your chance here to take part, right? Awesome. For those that don't know how the game goes, I give you two players and you say higher or lower. Now, to avoid confusion, tell me the player who has most caps, right, out of the two. Right? That's the easiest thing, right? So we're starting. Germany versus Scotland. Right, so who have I got? I've got Good John. I've got Scott. I've got Russell. So we have Kai Havertz versus Ryan Christie. So John, you're up first.
I'm going to say Havertz.
Scott?
Christie.
Russell?
I think I'd say Havertz.
Big?
Havertz.
Okay. Scott is correct. Ryan Christie has 45 caps and Kai Havertz has 42 caps. Okay. Right, we'll move over to the Switzerland-Hungary game. Okay, so we have got Okafor, so Noah Okafor or Milos Kerkez. I will start with Craig.
I'll go with Kerkez. I think Okafor has been injured quite a lot, but I feel like this is going to come back and come back my face here. But
okay, Russell,
toss a coin. Go for the Hungarian guy.
Right. Okay, Scott.
Well, I'm hoping the Swiss expert is our expert, so we're going to go Kerkez.
This is where I'm found out.
Okay, John.
Just to make it even spot here, I'll go with Hungarian boy too.
Oh, this is like France all over again. Right, so unlucky for some, Milos Kerkez has 13 caps, Noah Okafor has 16. So, nil point for all of you. Love it. Right, okay, back to Germany versus Scotland. We have Leroy Sané versus Alan McGregor. Scott.
Alan McGregor.
Callum.
Callum McGregor. Right. Sané.
Russell.
Let's go McGregor.
Craig.
I'm going McGregor.
Go on.
I think this one is Sané because I think Sané's been playing for Germany since like Euro 2016, whereas McGregor didn't really come into 2018.
Okay, well, obviously, 2 years are correct because it was a 50-50 split. Leroy Sané has 59 caps, Callum McGregor has 58. Okay, right, back over to the other game. So I've got, is it Ruben Vargas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or Dominic Szoboszlai. Russell.
Szoboszlai.
Scott.
Szoboszlai.
John.
Yeah, Szoboszlai.
Big.
Yeah, I'll go Vargas.
Okay. So Vargas has 37 caps. Szoboszlai has 38 caps. They're a close one. You know, these are always close. So when your famous is, when I see the grimacing, then this is how it is, right? Back to Germany versus Scotland. Serge Gnabry or Stuart Armstrong? Big.
Yeah, I'll go Armstrong.
Russell?
Gnabry.
Scott?
Armstrong.
John?
Yeah, Stuart Armstrong, I think.
Okay. So, Stuart Armstrong has 48 caps. Serge Gnabry has 45. So, John, Scott, big work right there. Right. Next up in Switzerland v Hungary.
This was a quick quiz, and it's started in an hour.
It's fairly quick. was it Nico Elvedi or Willy Orban? Scott.
or ban?
Go on.
Or ban.
Russell?
Yeah, or ban. I've forgotten the other player's name.
I'm the same.
Easiest one to say, so I just said the easiest one to say.
Hey, or ban.
Okay. So you are all gone. Willie Aubin has 43 caps. Ilvedi has 48 caps. So, that's good. Right. Last up in the Germany versus Scotland. Rudiger, John McGinn. Russell.
Rudiger seems to be around for a fair while. Yeah, let's go Rudiger. I should have been listening, actually, of all the Scottish ones being the higher ones.
I'll go with McGinn.
John?
See, the last two were Scottish, so something tells me that this is going to be the German boy, but I'm going to stick with John McGinn anyway.
So has McGinn got, what, 68 or something? He's in the 60s. 58. I think Rudiger's got more.
John McGinn has 62 caps. Rudiger has 66 caps. So, Scott and Russell with the points there. And then, last up.
He just said that was the last up.
In the other first... game.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Switzerland. Can you can't right, okay. Do. Right? Our good pal Cedric Eaton. Or the very Hungarian name Callum Stiles. So, John, you're up first.
I'll go with Callum Stiles.
Scott?
Yeah, Stiles.
No relation to Harry, as far as I know. Russell?
I got a feeling that Stiles only came in recently. So, the who was the other guy?
Cedric Eaton.
Yeah, him.
Right, okay.
This will bite me in a bum.
I'll go with Cedric Eaton.
Okay. Cedric Eaton has 11 caps. Callum Stiles has 18 caps.
Oh.
So. Yeah. So. 4 points for John. 6 points for Scott. 2 points for Russell. 1 point for Craig. So, Scott, you are the winner. You take the glory.
The best 50-50 I've ever won. Thank you very much.
Well done.
Wee bit of fun. Wee bit of fun. And I thought I would try and incorporate all teams in the group. I mean, that, to be honest, once the Euro tournament before it, I'm going to have great fun. That I do like all these captains. So, folks should be bloody prepared for it, but there's that many players in the squads. So, it's difficult to keep track of them all. So, yes. You have the glory for now, Scott. Until next time.
We'll get Gordon Smart to listen to this podcast to see how quiz is done, eh, John?
I'm not saying anything.
No, it was actually good fun that on Saturday.
Right, okay. So I think that is a wrap for the reaction to the draw from Saturday. Thank you, Russell, for coming back on.
Thank you very much for having me. Enjoyed it.
Good to have you on for your first time.
No problem. Thanks again for having me.
Hopefully you enjoyed it enough to come back.
Well, I didn't get one single Swiss player right on the quiz, so I'll think about that.
And Scott and John, pleasure as always.
Thank you.
Yep. Off we to Zane.
Yes.
Cheers.
And happy football.